Non-traditional version of House of the Rising Sun, performed by my guests today on the Saturday Cafe, Bethany Yarrow and Rufus Cappadocia. Bethany and Rufus, welcome to the Saturday Cafe. It is
so
good to
have you.
Thank
you for having us.
Nice to be here. We've been driving through cars with flags on them for some
Oh, game. My goodness. Well, I'm glad you managed the flag course. It's yeah. it's a weekend rally here. If there's a football game in town, the traffic is always tough. Yeah. I'm kind of curious about the matching of voice and cello. You know, it's becoming more common in folk music in the last few years. You're sort of becoming standard bearers, I think. But what do voice and cello give to each other that voice and guitar or voice and piano don't necessarily?
Well, speaking as the cello player, a bow. Infinite sustain. No, no. I mean, the beauty of the cello, and also specifically with my cello, because I have a 5-string cello that's a hybrid bass cello. Mm-hmm. So it allows me to really pluck, very reminiscent of a upright or a Fender, and also even kind of single note guitar man, you know, the James Brown band, but like it's got that same plucked sound, so that I can cover that sonic range of, mm-hmm. you know, like mm-hmm. similar to a guitar, but I can also pick up the bow and really sing and sing note for note with Bethany. So it means that I can have two voices, really. So it allows us to
at
sing
least.
Together.
Well, violinists tell me that the violin family is very close in tone and color to the human voice. And so I'm thinking that a violin or viola would be great as a duet with sopranos, and the cello would be like the perfect alto or contralto accompanying instrument.
Well, the cello's really, he's a tenor, generally. He's a tenor with the range of a baritone. He's a kind of, I don't know his technical definition, but he's like a baritone tenor. And then mine actually has the range of a bass. So he's a tenor with the range of a bass.
So you've got an entire choir backing you.
So I've got, well, more actually with Rufus, it's more than an entire choir. I mean, the thing that Rufus has that most cello players don't, just a lot of musicians don't, is just an intense, deep sense of groove and rhythm. So especially with these old folk songs, and the way that I hear them or like to hear them is with that real groove behind them. So it's not just like folky-dokey, you know what I mean? The kind of stereotypical Mighty Wind kind of
thing.
But you can go just right to funk and groove and moving. You can dance, and it just opens up this whole other world. And then on top of that, you've got the bow, and you've got all of those sounds. And Rufus doesn't play with the kind of vibrato that a lot of cellists play with. So it's a real folk approach to the music, and just going right to the heart of it, and to the note and the thing that just makes the whole room vibrate. So it's incredibly
thank
exciting.
Thank you, Bethany. I feel so appreciated.
Oh, Rufus, you're very appreciated.
But does that sort of looking for the groove approach to folk music, is that a reaction to your childhood upbringing or an outgrowth of it?
Well, I mean, I was playing a concert last night. When I was a teenager, I mean, I just ran as far as I could from folk music.
We should explain to people that the Yarrow of Bethany Yarrow is daughter of Peter Yarrow of Peter, Paul, and Mary. Just footnote.
Right, yes. Well, it is a footnote in the... but, yeah, I really went towards a different kind of music and wasn't really interested in the folk idiom, because it was just not cool at all. And I ended up doing folk music because I needed to do some stuff in some schools, and I didn't really know what to sing that would make sense for little kids. Mm-hmm. And so we went back to these folk songs that I learned when I was in second grade, and playing with Rufus and working from a groove aesthetic, they just became really exciting, contemporary songs that were the kids loved, and we loved doing them. So it just opened this out. But yeah, I would say it was a reaction against what folk music has kind of been stigmatized by and with. That and it doesn't have to be like that. There's really a vision of folk music is just like... And amongst a group
Kumbaya.
Of musicians. And it's just not my thing. So if I was going to do folk music, I have to really believe in it. It's not like I'm doing this because it's where you make the big bucks. You know. So if it's not really lining up with what I want to do and say and how I want to feel on stage and make the air feel, I'm not going to do it. But folk music actually seemed like the best way to do that. I mean, the best grooves came out of these folk music songs. And when you go back to them and you do these train songs and ballads and you put that groove inside of them, they just explode, and it's really exciting. And then you can also connect with other folk musics in the world. You just heard this guy from Niger, mm-hmm. from Africa, and the folk music there is incredibly groovy. Oh God, does it groove way more than most music grooves. So you're able to just put those musics together in a different way, and it opens up a whole other universe of possibilities.
Well, I'm sold. I think, though, we need an example. Would you like to sing something for us?
Let's have an example. Rare unplugged events. Because this is actually a 5-string electric cello. But it does have a beautiful acoustic sound, so you won't be hearing the magnetic pickups on it. But in a way, maybe that's best, because you actually get, if you want to talk about a real treatment of like, well, what does it sound like all stripped down? So here we go. I'll pull the mic down on my cello bit.
This is an old Union song, actually, that I learned when I was in third grade.
What's it called?
It's called Millions, Mister.
Bethany and Rufus on the Saturday Cafe, folk music with groove and soul and swing to it. You have recently, well, in the last few years, expanded your duo into a quartet. How did that happen?
Well, we started off always wanting to work with at least a percussionist. But the economics of scale just made it a lot easier to get ourselves out there as a duo, mm-hmm. and to piggyback some of our duo concerts onto some of the work we do with Peter. Mm. So, because we also have a band with Peter, Bethany, and Rufus. So we do as an offshoot of that. But Bonga is a Haitian percussionist whose group I play in, and we've played together for the last 15 years or so. So whenever I get a chance, I bring him in. So he was a natural addition. And then when Bethany and I were in France, the label was having a 10th anniversary showcase. And this other musician from Niger, Yakuba Mumuni, mm-hmm. was there with his band. And it just so happened that the groove we were playing on this one song actually was in the key of his flute. And it was kind of arranged a little bit in a West African style, mm-hmm. in a Wasulu kind of groove. So he just came and sat in on it. It was that kind of magic alchemical moment where you're like looking at each other going, hey, where are you from? Where are you from?
The universe changes just a little bit.
Exactly, yeah.
Very much so. And then we did this radio show later on the next year. We went back and we were going to play a festival with him, the festival of the same label. That it's all very incestuous. We did a radio show, and the radio programmer came from Paris to see it. We were down in Bordeaux and completely flipped out and said, we have to have you come and do this series called Live Afip, which is, it's kind of like if NPR did put out records, mm-hmm. we'd be like doing a CD with NPR. Uh-huh. So, and NPR puts it out. It's the right. National Radio of France. So it was a really big deal, but it was only our second concert ever. So, and we didn't have any rehearsal really. Mm. So we just showed up in Paris, rehearsed for a couple of days in a tiny little garret apartment that used to belong to the, you know, Musketeers. You know, it was very Parisian story. And then got up and did this national radio broadcast live. And then that was released as a CD. So it's been like a fast track, you know, where things, you just kind of tread in water for a while. And then when something gels and it's magic, and then all of a sudden, poof, the universe says, yes, go for it. So it's been flying by the seat of your pants, but it's one way to fly. It's not Delta, but it's, you know.
But it's flying.
But it is flying, yeah.
Well, you are going to be in Eugene tonight as a duo at a house concert, which is probably the best way to hear folk music, I think. Right, you're right down in front at the home of Carolyn Jacobs and Mike Strain. The reservation number is 541-683-8556, and the concert starts at 8.
Although I think it might actually be sold out with a waiting list.
Oh, dear. Well, call and make sure.
So if you really want to go and come and see us, we are playing in Portland on Sunday.
Oh, splendid. Where?
You'll have to check on our Facebook page, which is Facebook.com/ Bethany and Rufus. And then, but in Seattle on the 9th and the 10th, we're actually doing a show at the Jazz Alley. I mean, it's interesting for us because we're released as a jazz duo in Europe, and we're kind of folk here, but we kind of avant folk is what they call us in the jazz world. So we're playing up there, and it's a benefit for World Changing. So that's if you're really feeling inspired.
Well, tomorrow it's Blackbird Wine and Atomic Cheese in Portland, starting at 7:00. In the meantime, let's have one more song to go out on, please.
Yeah, we're going to actually break from the cello mold for a moment here and play the new 8-string guitar that we're very excited about. I'm still looking for a name.
It's always you with the extra strings, isn't it?
Yes. Well, yeah, something like that.
What is it? It's doubled up on the...
Yeah, it's four sets of two, and it's kind of a quarter tone, semi-fretless baritone guitar of sorts, so... See how this sounds.
It's the octotar. No, that's terrible. Bethany and Rufus tonight in Eugene, tomorrow in Portland. Thanks. ¶¶
never turn back. No. Oh, Jesus is the man. He's the man I'm looking for. Oh, but can you tell me where he is found? No more, no more, no more. Thank you.